you will not be perfect, nor will you always be charging ahead.
What did we talk about? Don't remember.
Yeah, don't remember.
But it was good. Let that be our truth.
Yeah, let's roll with that. It makes me feel good.
Makes me feel good about myself. Welcome to Leadership Decanted, where we engage with the latest thinking on all things leadership, and we keep the conversation flowing over a nice bottle of wine. Welcome back. Welcome back, KG. Welcome back.
So glad to be here, Paul. Man.
It's great to be here. Great to be enjoying our newfound freedoms.
Yes.
By coming back to this podcast. And look, you know, what we've been talking about in terms of trying to get back to, you know, trying to find our mojo again.
Yeah, yeah, we need that.
And it struck me that it would be worthwhile turning the lens on us.
Wait. I didn't sign up for this. Yeah. No.
Well, yeah, sure. But
I didn't sign anything.
Yeah, I didn't sign. Yeah, actually, you know what? Yeah, no one signed anything. We have no waivers. No. But I figured that I'd be interested in talking to you through this notion of leading self. And I thought maybe we can do that today. Maybe we can talk about leading self. What does that mean? Why would that make any difference to what we do here in this podcast, even what we do more generally, more broadly in our lives?
What do you reckon? Yeah. Let's tackle it. Let's see if we can turn the lens and make this happen.
Let's see what happens. We're a bit rusty, everybody. So give it, you know, please, we ask that you be gracious and merciful.
Yes.
But to do this, we are going to open a bottle of something.
Oh, yes. That is always necessary.
And I figured this is a special occasion. We're coming back after some time. I'm going to open some bubbly.
Ooh.
Right. Now, it's not champagne per se. It is sparkling wine.
Okay. It's, you know, you got to explain that to me.
So it's, well, champagne.
It's from the region.
It's from the champagne. Saint-Hilaire. Okay. It's one, in my opinion, one of the one of those close guarded secrets that not many people know about. If you're going to drink sparkling wine, but you can't afford champagne, and I think sometimes champagne is a little overpriced.
Yeah, and maybe even overrated. No.
Maybe. No, I do like some champagne.
Okay.
This for me is the closest thing.
Okay.
It is so affordable, and it is supposedly or allegedly, and you guys can Google this. It's from the Lemoore region, which is down south. Champagne is more, it's further up. The Champagne region is further up.
Okay.
So you can't call it champagne, but it is made in that sort of older tradition, fermentation for the bubbles.
Very cool.
It is just, I think it's delicious.
Oh.
And
you know you're talking it up, Paul.
Blanquette de Lemoore is what they call it.
Expecting big things.
Well, we'll see, shall we? Ready?
Yeah. The big pop. Here we go. Should I cover my ear? Oh, no. Don't even do that. Okay. Let's see what we get. Oh, wow. That's why you do
what you do. There you go. Just for that. You don't have to drink it. You just got to open a whole bunch of bottles.
It just feels festive already, right?
I'm feeling festive.
We haven't done anything, and I feel like this is a party.
There you go, man.
Very nice. One for you. So
and three for me.
And like we always say, if you can at home or at work or maybe not at work, but wherever you are listening to this podcast, if you can join us, please do.
Please do.
Otherwise, we will tell you all about it.
Slange, welcome back. Yes. Welcome back, everyone.
That's good.
Really nice texture.
Yeah.
Small beads.
Very nice. Thanks, Paul.
Cheers.
Okay. Now let's get into the
topic.
Ooh.
I'll tell you why I thought this was an interesting topic, at least to me.
Yeah.
So you and I started this podcast, when did it be? 2020?
Yeah.
Last year?
Yeah, it was last year.
Okay. Now, we haven't recorded many, despite our best intentions.
Yeah.
We started, you know, we haven't quite found that rhythm, but we are still very passionate about this. We're still very passionate about this project, whatever form it's going to take.
Yeah.
And it's still fun. It's still fun to crack a bottle of wine open with you and chat and just riff. But as a project, these ebbs and flows are interesting to me in that I've constantly been asking myself, why can't we get our act together?
Yeah, yeah.
And just record one thing, right?
As much as we enjoy it, as much as we'd love to do it all the time. Because yeah. Every time we finish, we're like, oh, that was great. Yeah,
love it. You know, we're a little bit tipsy. We've had a good time.
Yeah, that's really why we like it.
That's right. It's like, yeah. Whatever. What did we talk about? Don't remember. But it was good. But I figured there is a notion at which there is a leadership component here, yeah. You know, in that, what is it that was missing for us, or what didn't I tap into, what could I have tapped into that as a result of the fact that I didn't,
yeah,
you know, slowed me down, maybe my motivation dropped, maybe my energy dropped, I'm not sure. So it was for me then a sense of, is this about how I lead myself, how I lead the things that I do?
Yeah.
Is leadership even the right word for it? Can we turn that spotlight on these types of activity and the way that they unfold, or the way that we drive them?
Yeah, yeah, I get that. Because when you said talk about self, right? And I think you're right. It's hard to even call it leadership, because you don't really think about it as leadership. You think about it as just kind of motivation, or do I have, you know, enough, you know, inspiration to do something? But I think there is something within us that keeps us from doing this thing as regular as we'd like to. Mm. And I think it is, like you said, leading yourself.
So what do you think that is? What do you think we may have not tapped into enough that slowed us down?
Oh, I think it's going to sound way, way, way simple and sure. A little bit cliche, but I think that, like most things in our world, you and I included, we all have a long laundry list of things that we do. Some things we give priority to, and some things we do not. And I think the same thing applies to leading ourselves, where we have to give priority, we have to give the right attention, we have to give the right intentionality to certain things. And when we look at this in the list of things, you know, family, the job, whatever other recreation we do, where does it sit, right? And as much as we'd like to say that they're all equal and that we can balance them all, we don't balance them all. We actually purposely move and shape and shift and say, okay, these things are important to me maybe now, and then those kind of shift down, and then other things become important to me, you know, at later points. And I think the great thing about where we're at is, you know, we see this as important. So we're going to give it some effort. We're going to say, okay, on our ladder of things that we're considering priority or important or giving real focus to, this will become one of them. Mm-hmm. So it's moved up, but the likelihood is something else moved down. The likelihood, I don't know, you know. But
yeah, and I wonder whether it is, I'm not sure it's about things moving up and down for me. I think it's, for me, it has been more around how large is the plate
yeah.
that I've got on my, you know, in front of me right now. Yeah. And it's a little similar, but a little different in that it's, because it's all kind of important. If we were to use that analogy, on a plate, everything that I put on my plate, yeah, it's because I find it delicious.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Why you got it there.
That's right. So it's all kind of important. It's
even
all,
if it's veggies, though. I mean, yeah. come on, let's be real. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. So everything's important, but I think there's been a situation lately, certainly in the last few months, where things have piled on to that plate, so that I can't quite get to everything.
Yeah, yeah. So would you say you've got too much on your plate?
I think so, literally, in some cases.
Stomach yeah, cases. Yeah, yeah.
But yes,
you want to take it all on.
That's right, I want to take it all on.
I can do this.
That's right. So it's not, for me, it's less about a priority, although I think part of that, that is part of it. I think, though, it's with things like the lockdowns that we've been living through, when they were present, interestingly, even though our movement was restricted, it felt to me like it was actually more to deal with on my plate than less.
Yeah.
So it became, strangely enough, I think this project for us, or for me, became lost in that. Maybe it's that. I'm just trying to feel my way around here.
And the funny thing is, it is one of those things that we had talked about several different ways we could do this, you know, remotely, right?
That's right.
So we said, to step back, just before the lockdown, the week of the lockdown, or that it started in Sydney, we had planned one, to get together, and we were going to, get going. And then the lockdown happened, and then we kind of said, okay, we'll just wait till these things kind of go away, because they usually do, lockdown, and then it comes back to normal. Well, yep. It was an extended
period.
It was
really long. Yeah.
And again, we talked about things that we could do remotely. We could, do it over Zoom or whatever it was, but it didn't quite build up the steam that it needed to actually come to fruition.
No.
And I think, it was because mentally we had so much else to think about.
Yeah, I think there was an overload, wasn't there?
Yeah.
There was a kind of whether it's a cognitive or a psychological overload that didn't give us enough, even though we felt this is a priority.
Yeah.
It's not that it was a less of a priority, and I'm talking in real relative terms. I mean, I'm not going to, there is no equivalence between a podcast and my family's health safety.
No.
But nevertheless, in terms of projects and things that we're doing, it's still a priority, but it didn't get to see the light of day.
Yeah.
So, and there were interesting conversations that you and I had about trying to get it done, trying to do it, and we just couldn't get it happening.
Yeah.
But I figured also part of that process was, I think there was empathy, certainly empathy on your part of thinking, you're probably going through a lot. And I was thinking the same, you're going through a lot. Let's just pull back a little bit.
Yeah.
There's an element of understanding that there are other things happening.
Yeah.
But there's also, interestingly, I have thought about the accountability factor, because we're doing this together. Is leadership also about, or how is leadership in these sorts of projects about accountability? Whether I hold you accountable, you hold me accountable, there's a mutual bilateral thing going on. Could we have dialed that up a little bit more?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the only reason we're back, right, is because we did ultimately hold each other accountable and say, we said we were going to do this.
Yeah. We said it was important.
Yeah, we said this.
Yeah.
Where is it? And then let's put a date to it. And all those things that started to get it back into the forefront of our thinking. So,
And we haven't had a drink together for a long time.
That was quite
an incentive. Yes.
And I was like, come on. And you bring the good stuff.
So well, yeah.
None of the cheap stuff. Never mind. Okay. But it was trying to get, and I like what you said about empathy, because I think there was a little bit of that, because if we shoot each other a mail and we don't hear back, you go, a lot going on.
Yep.
No dramas. And we give each other that grace, that a little bit of space just to make sure that we're okay, that we can, handle all the other things that are on our plate and give those the due time, knowing that we're all in kind of a strange situation. The whole lockdown thing is just strange, right?
Yeah, it's strange.
And I think the world is in a place now where less of that is going to happen, and we're going to do more living freely. But I was telling my wife the other day that it's going to be interesting to see how the young people, our society, is impacted by what's happened over the last couple of years. Mm. I think of things like the Great Depression and all those things that, how the people who lived through that grew up differently, thought differently than the generations before them. So I'm thinking that something's happening now with what we've all gone through and are still going through that will change us.
Yep.
And maybe it'll help us focus more on what's important. Maybe it'll help us focus on the things that help humanity, others, maybe us thinking about each other's, well-being was a part of that. Maybe that was, because we know that it's important to allow everyone to process this whole thing in their own way. And maybe we were being the leaders that we typically are for our teams and giving that space so that, we could recover almost, without the pressure, right? Because we know that that's probably not what we needed exactly. It's just another thing. On top of the other things.
Well, that's a very generous interpretation. I'm going to take that. So, sure. Let's let that be our truth.
Yeah, let's roll with that. It makes me feel good.
Makes me feel good about myself. I am empathic. So At the risk of overgeneralizing or universalizing, what could we extrapolate from this experience to the broader topic of leadership? What could we extrapolate from the stuckness and those other sort of characteristics that you mentioned? What do you think?
If I were to put it into general terms, this is probably being generous, but...
Well, that's just the sort of guy you are.
I'm a generous guy. I think that the thing that I would tell all leaders based on what we've experienced is that you will not be perfect, nor will you always be charging ahead. Sometimes leadership is about that give and take. Sometimes you will need to pull back as a leader, just as much as you will need to charge ahead as a leader. Mm. So I see that this is all a part of that process, which does have its times of strong force and take charge and do the things that are part of what you would traditionally call, you know, having leadership qualities. And sometimes that whole sphere of force and all that needs to take a backseat to a simple standing back, assessing the situation, giving it time to then do like we're doing now, which is now we've got a fire back within us that maybe if we pushed and pushed and pushed during the time of lockdown, we may not feel, we may be feeling burned out. We may have felt that this was a burden, but now it feels light. It feels good again, right? It feels easy. So maybe that's something that I would say. And I know that's giving us a break, right?
That's right, exactly.
That's saying that we didn't do anything wrong. We had this under control. We were going to do it. I knew
that's
it.
Right. It's exactly how we planned it. What I find striking about that is the notion of stepping back. And I'm thinking of phrases like headspace, right? You know, you often say, oh, I haven't got the headspace. And the possibility that whatever was happening for you and I, and you know, there was an overarching theme of lockdown, but clearly you and I live separate lives, so different things were happening.
Yep.
Perhaps there was, I mean, certainly I had no headspace.
Yeah.
As much as the thought of putting this back on again kept coming back and kept harassing me, there was just no space. But what you're saying is from a broader leadership, perhaps a leadership practice.
Yeah.
In terms of a leadership practice, the possibility of stepping back and not necessarily making space, because then you just become busy trying to make space.
Yes.
And it's counterproductive. But stepping back and waiting, sometimes waiting for the space to emerge.
Yeah.
That is seems to me what's been happening for us.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Now, we haven't necessarily waited very gracefully.
And we probably didn't plan it that way,
right? But that's the other point, right? That notion of waiting for whatever is going to emerge, and sometimes you don't know how long it's going to take.
Yeah.
That for me is an interesting concept to extrapolate for those who are or find themselves in leadership roles or with leadership responsibilities, whether or not it's positional authority or not in an organization or like or otherwise, where sometimes you don't know how things are going to unfold. And we could be really, really busy and try and work it out and get ourselves into that treadmill of working things out. And, or we can wait and see how it's going to turn out. And then when the space emerges, then make a decision or then make a move. Well, I'm wondering whether that's something that is a legitimate extrapolation.
I love that because I see that as well. And it feels, if I take it from an outsider, you know, someone maybe listening to this and going, that sounds soft, right? Why would you sit back and just let it happen? You know, it's not going to just strike you over the head. You've got to go out and take it. Look, I think you're right. Some of it is us and our experience allowing that space to occur, because I think you, as well as me in my life, I know that sometimes you just spend too much time pressing and pressing and pressing at something, and you haven't given yourself an opportunity to step back, look at it for the full picture before you've continued pressing forward. And I think even in this case, it was kind of that, where we knew that there was ways that we can make it happen, and we could try this on, you know, different mediums, and we can try to see if we can, you know, both have a bottle of wine separately at our homes and all this. But every time we started to talk about that, it just, it almost seemed like we were forcing something that, you know, that was going to make it less what we wanted it to be. So I think subconsciously, I think partially intentionally, we've kind of given ourselves that space to let it come now back naturally, and then we can kick off and do our thing.
But I'd take your point about the possibility that someone thinks, oh, he's just a bunch of softies. What are you just getting on with it? You know, just do it.
Just do really. It. That's what
and I think,
about.
And I think there's a legitimate retort in that sometimes you do have to do that.
Yeah.
The problem for me is if all you have is one speed, then that's going to be problematic.
Yeah.
If you're
no matter what the speed, right? If it's all on high or all on low, you're still, it's a problem.
You have to be able to flex. Yeah. You know, the foot has to sit heavily on the accelerator and sometimes sit more lightly. You have to be able to consciously dictating or deliberately setting the speed.
Yeah, that's it. And when I talked about priority earlier, when you said that, that probably fits a better definition of what we were doing, because I think you may not shift the priorities. They may not change in priority, but there are some things that you have to go harder on, and some things you need to pull back on because of the timing, because the situation has changed. So you need to pull back on that. And that's what this is all about, is learning that it's okay to have those different speeds. I like that, because that just gives you the permission to still have your foot on the pedal. It's just lightly.
Exactly.
So for those of you who are left foot.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Keep driving. It's okay. No one said stop. Don't park the car.
No.
Keep driving. Just drive at a different speed.
Just a different speed, yes. And it's a school zone, man.
That's right.
A school zone.
But in our case, I think what we did is we just, every now and again, we just touch base.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a really light touch on the accelerator. We didn't totally get out of the car, but we certainly weren't driving at full speed.
No. Well, yeah, I saw an old lady crossing the street, and I said,
"That was me, by the way."
I thought she looked familiar, but anyway.
A hairy old lady.
So it slowed way, way down.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think the important part was that we did keep stepping forward in some way. Like you said, just touching base, just, hey, how's it going? Not even sometimes asking about the podcast, even though we were itching to get back to it. It was just a, hey, how's that? Yeah. You know, how's the fam? You know, you're holding up okay, and that's it. And then we know that ultimately we'll get back to this, and it's worked.
And I wonder though how it's worked for other people who are in organizations that have had to really adapt to a different speed.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you and I both have a background in software delivery and IT and that sort of leadership, where deadlines are often, you know, they always say they're immovable, but that's not true. That's, if anybody ever tells you an IT deadline is immovable, just walk away.
Yeah.
Don't argue.
Just know they don't know what they're talking about.
That's right. But the point is that there is a speed.
Yeah.
And there is an assumed speed that I've experienced in that space.
Yeah.
Where you've always got to be all flat out. And there's always a fear of, you know, you can't let your foot off the pedal. You just got to keep going, because otherwise either complacency sits in or things will be late or whatever it might be. And there's never any room to step back and say, well, hang on, how's this going to unfold?
Yeah.
You know, what space do we need here to make better decisions or give something else a little bit of oxygen? I wonder how that's been working for people. And, well, I guess I could ask you, really, without necessarily revealing too much of your work situation.
Day job, yes.
Because I'm no longer in that corporate space, but you have some of your fingers still dabbling in that space. Yeah. What have you noticed around the notion of speed and how people are now, are they leading at full speed? Are they trying to adapt that leadership to provide some emerging space? What's happening? What are you noticing?
I think you're right. The perception is still the same, right? You have to just go full out. We've got this date that was set in stone, you know, a year ago, and we've got to meet that date, even though the people who set that date had no idea about the scope of the work or anything about the people who are going to be delivering, they set a date and they're hoping to deliver to it. And I think what happens in our rush to do the things, we do fail to step back and look at the big picture and question, does that date make sense? Is there a better way we should be doing this? Should we be changing our scope or other things to make that date more attainable? And so I think you're right. You know, for the most part, people still push and push and push and don't give them an opportunity or themselves an opportunity to pull back and do it, I guess, gracefully. I can say that I'm working with a leader now. She is phenomenal at being able to look at the full situation and realize that some of the things that we did say that we wanted to do, they were probably just we wanted to. There was no real reason behind it. And we have been able to pull back less tension. People know that they're still making good forward progress, but it takes away some of the burden of thinking we have to do all, instead of having to do the 100 things that really 40 of them were just, you know, because, and we really didn't have a reason, we do the 60 things that are really going to provide value, and it does make a difference. But that's, kind of that same thing where we know that we still want to do those things. They're not going away, but are they the things that we really want to push on right now? And the answer is, let's focus on the 60% that we know is going to make the biggest impact to customers or whatever the situation. So there's some of that, and there's some people who see the world that way and they can adjust their thinking and still be pushing because you still want people to be focused and motivated and feel like they need to deliver things for productivity and all those other things that we still have to do as leaders. But I think there's ways that you can do it so you can take advantage of what we're talking about, which is give a little bit of space so that people can think and that people can do the things that they really need to do the most impactful things versus all the other stuff.
So really the takeaway for me is there needs to be an awareness of space, of the need for space, of what, you know, what is occupying people's headspace.
Yeah.
Whether it's psychological space or cognitive space. Yeah, how much are they carrying? What's the cognitive load?
Yeah, yeah.
And the second piece for me is time and or speed.
Yeah.
Speed. What speeds are appropriate in order to get things done when people's cognitive load are maxed out?
Yeah.
What do you need? As a person who might have a leadership role, although, you know, you could argue that, and as we have before, that everyone in a sense has a leadership role. But if you have a positional authority around what gets done and how, then what is the appropriate speed?
Yeah.
What are the adjustments that might need to be made? And being aware of people's load and the speed at which you move could make a big difference.
Yeah, yeah. It's having that awareness of everything that's going on around you and not just being so singularly focused that you can't see the other things that you may not need to use as levers to make different decisions.
Right? So how does a CEO do that when, you know, you've had 12 months of reduced revenue and you can see the light at the end of the tunnel?
Yeah.
And you know that if you move quickly, you can potentially recover or claw back some of that revenue, perhaps not all of it, but you've got to go all out.
Yeah.
But to do that, you've got to lean into your people who have just had 18 months of something very, very different that has depleted them. So what does somebody in that role, in that position do? What is possible for them? It feels to me like they're in like between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, I think they would be, right? It's one of those roles where we give CEOs a hard time because they make lots of money, or some of them do, and all these other things that can go wrong and gets publicized when it goes wrong. But I think you're right. When there is an obligation, whether it's revenue, whether it's with people, there's lots of ways and lots of things that they have to make decisions on, and they're going to be competing at some point. So to reach that revenue goal, they're going to have to push people. They're going to push some people beyond what they would normally feel is comfortable, right? It may be a stretch for people. It may be a stretch for a team or an organization for a long period of time to reach those goals. But the ones who do it well, they have multiple speeds so that they know that that's not forever and that can't be forever. And they can make adjustments so that once we reach a certain point or we've done it for so long, we have to change speeds. We have to do something else that actually now looks after people in a different way, looks after their well-being, or looks after how we allow them to work. You know, maybe it's a different way of working. But I think those are the people who do it really well. But, you know, you're right. There's some obligations that come with the gig, right? You've got to, you know, meet this target. You know, if you don't meet this target, you're not here next year. So,
well, how about a different scenario then? Yeah. Not necessarily the corporate scenario, but I'm thinking now about students, particularly students who might be doing their last year of high school. As you know, often last year of high school means that you have a lot of exams at some point. Everyone's going through an exam. So you have to complete a curriculum and so forth. Now, a lot of these students have been working through online learning or homeschooling, for example, you know, working at their own speed. And teachers and schools have been doing everything they can to get through the curriculum, get through the syllabus. Do they have the luxury of saying, oh, yeah, let's just, why don't we wait until see what space opens? Because clearly there is a certain level of pressure that they are then having to transfer to their students who are adolescent, who are still developing, you know, whose perhaps psychological sense of identity is still shaping. So they don't necessarily have all the tools at their disposal to deal with these crazy times.
Yeah.
So what's possible there? How does a teacher or a school principal or a school community work to allow for that space when you know, well, you know what, these kids have to finish school because that's what's going to happen. That's just the timing.
Yeah, that's a tougher one because I think this whole notion of leading yourself is unique to you. So no matter what we tell you, no matter what other people tell you, everybody's going to have their own unique set of things that have built them up to this point. And they'll have to make some decisions that are tough. So taking that example of someone last year of school being pushed really, really hard to, you know, study, to do these exams, and then have the added pressure of somebody asking him over and over again, what are you going to do after school?
And gotcha.
All that kind of stuff. I remember it well.
Yeah.
Still scarred, as you can tell. But I think that that's where it is tough, and it is trying to do exactly what we're describing, which is knowing that the things around you will dictate sometimes that you have to push. And that is the way of life, right? So sometimes it's an emergency situation. You just have to go out and do what needs to be done to complete that. Or if it was, you know, someone had fallen over in the street and you went to help them up, you would do that because no matter what you were thinking, no matter what you were doing, no matter what was important going on right then and there, that person needed it. So you would help them up and you'd get them out of the right way so they didn't get hit by a truck or whatever. So we do that, and we do that for ourselves as well. We have to pick ourselves up out of whatever we're feeling sometimes to get something done. And we know that. And I think that whole notion of understanding that sometimes you just have to do the thing right now, as hard as it is, as long as it's been, and as uncomfortable as it makes me to just get it done, to get that, you know, moment over with. And then you can spend some of that time reflecting, knowing that you have some space that you've created now because you've gotten through that one hurdle that you know you had to get through. There will be other hurdles that come, but you've got to get past those things instead of kind of almost dreading them. So you push them off a little longer, little longer.
Step by step.
So I think that's the only thing you can do. And I'm being general here. That is not going to work for everyone. Some people are going to have to make some other decisions to not do that push. But that's where it, just understanding that you have that capability.
Yeah, and it takes me back to earlier parts of our discussion where we talked about empathy and accountability. And I think when it comes to the more vulnerable amongst us, and I think adolescents are more vulnerable psychologically, emotionally, and so forth by sheer fact that they haven't been in this world for that long, right?
Yeah.
And so they're still working out who they are and what they can do. I think there might be something to be said for leadership. You know, it takes a village.
Yeah.
It takes a village to lead through some of these moments that unfold with great uncertainty and great pressure and create such cognitive load, psychological load and emotional pressure for people.
Yeah.
And maybe that's something that we can talk about in future conversations about how does one activate one's village?
Yeah, right? I think it's brilliant because I think that one of the ways in which we have to lead is through our village, our community, because I think that you cannot do life alone. And I know that, you know, that's a whole different topic, right?
Yeah, sure.
You got, but
yeah,
there,
sure is.
You need that
life
village.
Decanted.
Yes. So, but leadership is the same, where we need that. And sometimes we're using that elements of ourselves as part of a village to lead us, lead others.
On that note,
yeah.
It's the first one back. My brain is full, but I'm very grateful for that the opportunity.
Yes. No, it's been good, man. I'm so glad we're back. And so glad we get an opportunity to just chat and do this. And, you know, hopefully we get a third listener out there.
Yeah, so. Thank you. Those two listeners out there, you know who you are. Thank you very much. Please tell others.
Yes, please do. And we will chat at you soon.
We will. Slange. That's it for our show today. If you like what we do, if we like our conversations, if you want to hear more about what we do, please rate us. Review us, subscribe, tell your friend, your family, your enemies, tell everybody you know. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback. If there's any particular leadership topic that you'd like to hear about or want us to explore, please let us know. We'd really appreciate that. And come back next time.